This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
It's hard to meet everybody's expectations when it comes to a shiur like this. Really, what I would like to have is just to have the boys that are here and make the shidduch and go home, not to have to talk about it. Just to finish up the whole sugya. Not to have to talk and to talk and to talk. I decided to do something very radical tonight. And I'm going to speak in a very simple and practical way. It's hard for me. It doesn't come naturally to me to be sensible and practical. And the sugya that we're talking about is one, obviously, that touches upon the deepest yesodas, the deepest, most fundamental, basic principles of our emuna, which is bitachon, trusting in Hashem, and hishtadlus. How much do I leave up to Hashem, and what do I have to do? What do I have to do? What's my hishtadlus? It's a very, very big sugya. For those who want to learn it more in depth, because really it's the sugya of Rachel and Leah. It's the whole inyan of Rachel and Leah. And whoever wants to learn that in depth, there was some shiurim that I gave around 5 years ago on Tal Lechaim, on the Chalban, on Parshas Vayishlach. It's Chanukah time. There must have been around 10 shiurim on this subject of Bitochen and Hishtadlus. And I discussed their Shiduchim as well. There was a Jew who was having terrible trouble when it came to Shiduchim, getting married, and he went to Rav Nosson Breslover. And he was crying to Rav Nosson about the problems that he was having, the disappointments. And Rav Nosson said to him, look, you know, Yaakov Avinu was sad in Yonim, but it wasn't so pushed by Yaakov Avinu with his shidduch. So the man was very surprised, and he said, Rebbe, you're comparing me to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu's life is filled with all kinds of deep mysteries. And so Rav Nosson said, your life is also filled with very deep mysteries. One has to begin knowing that and believing that life is filled with very deep mysteries, especially in this inyan. This is a subject that, for one person, brings back wonderful memories and is exciting, and for another person, it's a cause of terrible pain and frustration and disappointment. I want to go through it very quickly. There's around 2 or 3 hours of material right now. I didn't photostat. That would take even longer. So it's going to be a lot, just very quickly, a lot to think about. I basically want to talk about two shittas, two different approaches to the whole subject of shidduchim, and this whole mishkal, balance of how hard do I work towards this, and how much do I just wait for this? I think that's a big question. Nachon? That's the question. So many from the first shita, which you'll see in a moment what this first shita is. Many from those who support this first shita bring a famous statement by the Vilna Gaon, by the Gra, that's brought down in Yahel Or in many places from the teachings of the Vilna Gaon, where he brings the pasuk Bidchu bo b'chol eis. Bidchu bo b'chol eis, to trust in Hashem, b'chol eis. Now, b'chol eis, at all times. The Gaon says that those two words, b'chol eis, are a code words for a zivug. When it comes to getting married for a shidduch, why that is, that has to do with something in Kabbalah we're not going through right now. But he speaks about this being sod hazivug. The sod of zivug of marriage is called kol, and ace, the time, the season, the appointed time to get married. He says kiddu. It's talking about a man and a woman, husband and wife. And he brings the Gemara in Ma'id Katan, Adaf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara there tells us that when it comes to marriage, when it comes to a shidduch, we see from Torah, and we see from Nevim, and we see from Ksuvim, that Mehashem Isha Leish, that Hashem is Baruch is the Shadchan. Mehashem Isha Leish, and the Gemara brings Psukim from Tanakh, Torah, Nevim, and Ksuvim, that Hashem is the one who makes Zivugim. Hashem is Oisik, as you all know, in Zivugim. That's Chazal tells us, that's what he's busy with, Kivyachal, making Shiduchim. Since the time of creation, that's what he's busy with, Kivyachal. And the Goyin says, that's the meaning of Hashem lo yivne bayis. When David Malach said, Hashem lo yivne bayis, shav omlu bonav bo, that if Hashem does not build the house, the builders cannot do anything. If Hashem doesn't build your shidduch, there's no shadchan in the world that could do anything. And Hashem lo yivne bayis, shav omlu bonav bo, And then he says this famous sentence that has been misused and abused in many, many ways. The Goyen then says, Sheshov hu esek b'nei odem b'inyin hazivuk. Shov hu esek, there's no point. It's a waste of time for people to be involved in this whole business of making zivugim. Shakol hum es Hashem. Because zivugim are completely from Hashem. Shaduchim are completely from Hashem. Achevel b'nei odem kozev b'nei ish. Therefore, the efforts that people make when it comes to this inyin of a zivug, it's hevel, it's kozev. Hevel is nourishkeit, it's a waste of time, it's kozev, it's all falsehood. There's a famous Rosh HaTevis that the Rebbe Natali Rupshus has said on the word shadchan, shindal chof and the nun. Shadchan is sheker, dover, kesef, notel. He says lies and he takes your money. That's not meant chalila against any of the wonderful shadchanim that we have, who occasionally will say something that's true. So the Goyin says, shov omlu boinav bai. Shov. Hevel, v'chozov. That's what he's saying. It's very, very well known, and it's also very widely quoted, and it's often taught to the girls in seminary, that the Brisker Rav said that the hishtadlus that one makes when it comes to marrying off their children, or the kids themselves making shidduchim, all that hishtadlus is really unnecessary. It's just for the purpose of calming them down, that they should feel like they're doing something. But really, it's like what the Vilna Gaon says, shav, shum davar. It's not necessary. The Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when he spoke about this, he said that the Brisker Rav wasn't saying that one doesn't need to make any hishtadlus at all, but only that when it comes to this area of shidduchim, the hishtadlus is less than other areas of life. That's Reb Shlomo Zalman. He sort of tempered this comment by the Brisker Rav a little bit. Nevertheless, Those who support this shita, this view, bring a number of rayas. The most famous, which everybody here knows, the most famous rayas from Chazal in a number of places. But Chazal tell us that our boim yom kodim yisir sevlad, that 40 days before the conception of the baby, there's a bas call. There's a voice that comes from on high that says, bas ploni leben ploni, that this is the shidduch, and the shidduch is made in Shemayim. That's the most famous source. And based upon that, Rav Yoshev's illustrious son-in-law, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, writes, Arboim yom lifnei yitzir sevlad, kovar ribon ha'ilom misakol. That 40 days before the oldest one, 40 days before the oldest one is conceived, there's already a shidduch that Hashem makes. Everything is kavua. V'nigzar ha'tarich shebo yizbatsu advar. And the date is also set. The date of the chasna is already written. In Shemayim, v'ha'odem tzorach rak lahamtin uletzapois liyeshuas Hashem shetove kerefayin. All the person needs to do is to sit and to wait for Yeshuas Hashem, that it should come like the blink of an eye. Ale mishpocha mutal lasos hishtadlus mizeiris. The family needs to make just a small little hishtadlus to leave room for some bracha, to make a small hishtadlus v'sulo, and not anything else. Only a fool thinks that the shidduch is something that depends on what we do. And would one think that a person who can't afford, who doesn't have connections with professional shadchanim, or somebody that doesn't have too many contacts or friends, can't make a good shidduch for his children? Only those people who can afford a big shadchan, who have like a whole network of friends looking out for them, only such people can make a good shidduch. That's what Rabbi Zilberstein said, and his brother-in-law, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, has been quoted as saying, but he's often misquoted, but has been quoted as saying, that if one davens well, it's not necessary to have a shadchan b'chlal. If one davens well, it's not necessary to have a shadchan b'chlal, shum davar acher, nothing else. So that's one Beis HaMedrash. There's a Beis HaMedrash like that. But even this Beis HaMedrash, even this way of thinking, we need to understand a little bit more. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. Let's now talk about a second Mahalach. The first one is clear. HaKol Bidei Shamayim. It's clear. What's the second Shita? The Mishnah in Kedushin and Daf Chavtes teaches us a general principle in halacha of kol mitzvahs haben al ha'av. There are certain mitzvahs that are the responsibility of the parents vis-a-vis the children. The Braisa goes on over there, the Gemara tells us, Ha'av chai b'bno l'maylo. The father has to see to it that the son gets a bris milah. He has to take care of that. If he can't give a bris himself, he has to hire a mile. Vilef daisai, and to take care of a pidyon ben if it's a firstborn. Ulalam day taira, and the father has to see to it that the child learns taira. Ulahasio isha, and he must take care to marry the child off. That's the responsibility of the parents. The Gemara goes on over there on the Flamadam Abbeis. Lasio isha min olam. How do we know that the parents are chayiv to take care, to marry the child off? How do we know this? The Chsiv brings a pasuk. Khunashim v'haylidu banim, marry, get married and have children. V'haylidu banim v'banis, to have boys and to have girls. Chule b'nei chanashim, and find suitable wives for your sons, and to marry your girls off to proper men. So the Gemara brings that pasuk. That means what the Mishnah and the Gemara are telling us is that it is a mitzvah. It's a chayva mufereshes, just like bris milah and pidyon haben, and just like teaching Torah. It's a mitzvah that the parents are responsible for, to take care for their children, and not only that. But the Rishonim add that there's no question that parents who are neglectful when it comes to trying to help their kids, and friends who are neglectful looking out for their friends and so on, when it comes to a shidduch, they're also ignoring the mitzvah of v'ahavt l'recha kamaicha, of loving another Jew. What greater way is there to love another Jew than to be able to help that person get married? So they're over on the mitzvah, on the great mitzvah, which is the yesod of all of the mitzvahs, which is loving another Jew, and also on the mitzvah of a halachta bidrachav, of going in the ways of Hashem. That this is something, as we'll speak about in a minute, that Hashem, as we already spoke about a little bit, that Hashem is preoccupied, kivyachal, with making shaduchim. V'halachta bidrachav means just like Hashem is ashanchem, just like Hashem is busy making shaduchim, so too, v'alachta bedrachav, walking in Hashem's ways, means that we have to be busy trying to make shaduchim for other Jews. That's a mitzvah, v'alachta bedrachav. Therefore, if we learn this sugi of shaduchim simply, and again, I'm talking about pashtus, again, no svasemis, no psaldik stein, is not simple. Al pi gidrei ha-halacha, according to the guidelines that were handed down to us in halacha, this is a mitzvah, like any other mitzvah. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. That's what the Gemara is telling us. Not only is it a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah rabbah. It's a great mitzvah. And therefore, the same way that one is not allowed to be lazy, neglectful, when it comes to performing other mitzvahs, and that's what the Mishnah Gemara is telling us, you have to see to it that your kid gets a bris, you have to make sure to find a yeshiva for your children, and so on. And it would be a terrible pshia, it would be a terrible crime, in one's avodas Hashem, to be negligent of taking care of these mitzvahs. Hu hadin? It's the same halacha. If a person is negligent when it comes to looking after one's own children, to try to take care, to find a proper shidduch, and in the situation where, God forbid, parents are not able to, or there aren't any parents, or the parents feel helpless in this matter, and they can't, or they're not used to that, then it's an obligation for the chevra themselves to be mishtadl. We'll talk about the hishtadlus, what type of hishtadl, but to make a hishtadlus and to work on this like they would work on any other mitzvah. And therefore, the whole inyan of a person, according to this mahalach, according to this shita, taking that one Yiddish word that everybody knows, which is basheret, and to take that one word, basheret, kilu zeagia, zeagia levad, if you want to say it in Hebrew, it'll happen. It'll happen on its own, zeagia. It's basheret. To base that upon the non-halachic statement of Chazal that reveals to us that 40 days before the baby is conceived, a shidduch is made, to depend upon that and to use basheret and to constantly quote that Chazal about 40 days before the baby is born, before the baby is conceived, one should remember that The same Gemara that talks about that shidduch that's made before the baby is actually born, the children are born, also says that there's a baskal that comes out from Shemayim that says, Sada Ploni Leploni. There's a baskal that also comes out that says that this person is going to own the following property in his life, is going to buy this house or live in that apartment. And it's interesting, I never saw that people, when it comes to homes or apartments, that they say, I'm going to sit in the field and wait, it's Bashet, and when they come to me with an apartment or somebody buys me a house, then I'll move in. Never heard of such a thing. That statement, the Gemara says, Sada Ploni Leploni, is also referring to Parnassa. Go tell the same parents who say that I can't help you with your shidduch, but when it comes to telling you where you should go to school and what you should do for a living, they have a lot to say. The Gemara says, the same Gemara that says, Bas Ploni Leploni, Ben Ploni Leploni, that there's a shidduch that's made to Shemayim, also says when it comes to Parnassa. That everybody has a Parnassa that's announced when before the baby is born, this is what this person is going to do for a Parnassa. And this is how this person is going to make a living, and this is where this person is going to live. It's also said in Shemayim. And nobody, when it comes to those things, nobody says, Basher, I don't have to do anything. Nobody says, I'm so proud of you, to their husband. I'm so proud of you that you stay at home reading the newspaper all day or playing shashbash. Nobody says such things. Everybody says, get to work. What are you doing? So he says, there's a baskal. I'm waiting for something. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the shadchan to call. I'm waiting for something to happen. I'm waiting for the employment agency. I'm waiting for somebody to call me to tell me that they have some gewaldige deal and they want me to get involved in this parnassa, or somebody has a house that they want to buy from me. Nobody would say such a thing. Anybody that would say that, you would say, what's the matter with you? You're not making hishtadlus. You're not doing anything. You're lazy. You're negligent. It's the same Gemara. So this Mahalach has a different way of understanding that Gemara of 40 days before, which we'll get to in a second. Adrabba, this shita, this mahalach that we're learning, the second shita, this mahalach says, if we want to talk about non-halachic gemaras or non-halachic statements of Chazal, lo chaser, for instance, to support our shita. For instance, Chazal tell us in the Tanchuma in Chayesar, Torah tchiloso chesed. The Torah begins with chesed, and the Torah concludes with chesed. The final chesed of the Torah is Hashem taking care of burying Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's clear. The final chesed is Hashem is Baruch taking care. Yeah, we are. Come, I'm sorry. Yeah. So the Torah concludes with chesed. Hashem is Baruch takes care of the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the end of the Torah. And the Torah begins with chesed. It was this teaching of Chazal, Torah Chilos of Chesed, V'Sayf of Chesed, one version says, Gemilas Chesedim, means that the entire essence of Torah is Chesed. Creation is Chesed, right? But it's interesting. Chazal, when they tell us, Torah Chilos of Chesed, the Torah begins with kindness, doesn't say creation. Torah begins with kindness, says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of the Shidduch of Adam and Chava. And not only did he take care of the Shidduch, of Esla Ezek and Egdon, not only take care of the Shidduch, but it says, he himself adorned Chava in her wedding gown. He got it, whatever that means. I mean, it's not something you could buy or rent or go to the Gemach for, although this is the original Gemach, because this is Tchilasa Chesed. Hashem adorned Chava, not just in a wedding gown, because the Kala wears all kinds of, if you've ever seen a Taimani, you know, a Yemenite wedding, they were all Kishutim, Mamish, from head to toe, all kinds of adornments. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that dressed Chava up in her wedding outfit, and he was the one that walked Chava to the chasm. What does Chazal tell us? Shloish esrei chuppas also HaKadosh Baruch Hu lodom l'chav, not one chuppah. 13 chuppas. Obviously it's an important number, 13, but there are 13 chuppas that Hashem has made for Adam and Chava. And ito HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chav b'chov dal takshitin. And he adorned, he dressed Chava up in the 24 tachshitin, the 24 different types of beautiful jewelry and different things, necklaces, v'chulu, clothing of the Kala. Chazal tells us that's the beginning of Chesed in creation. That's the beginning. And again, here's V'halachta Bedrachav. And V'halachta Bedrachav is telling us that if the first Chesed of creation, remember, whenever we see the first of anything in Tanakh, it means it's the Sharish, it's the Yesod. It means the first chesed in all of Tanakh is the Baruch Shalom taking care of the Shidduch of Adam and Chava. That's the first chesed. The Gemara says that when a person leaves this world at 120, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Laman Aleph tells us that there are a couple of questions that were asked. Like there's an interview when we get to Shemayim at 120. And the question is asked, one of the questions that's asked is, Asakta Bepiri Rivya. Asakta, were you Isaac? Were you occupied? Did you try to have children? Obviously, it's in God's hands if you can have. Some people can't have children or later. But Asakta Bepiri Rivya. Were you busy trying to bring more neshamas into the world? Did you try to bring more neshamas to the world? The Maharsha says, Le'omar Kiyamta Purvo. It doesn't say, were you Makayim Purvo? Did you have kids? It doesn't say Kiyamta. It says Asakta. And the Maharsha says, Lahasi Yasim V'yasayma. Asakta Bepiri doesn't only mean, did you try to get married and have kids? But did you make an effort to marry off others who needed your help? A Yasim V'yasayma obviously doesn't only mean orphans. It means anybody who needs help. A Yasim, God forbid, a Yasim V'yasayma need more help than anybody. They don't have parents. So they need other people to get involved. But this question at 120, when we come to Shemaim, every Jew is going to be asked, Asakta Bepiri Rivya. And the Maharsha says, it's not just talking about did you try to get married and have kids yourself. Were you involved in helping your children get married? Were you involved in helping other Jews get married? Asakta Bepiri Rivya. People who have a hard time. People don't know what to do. People are helpless. They don't know how. Or they don't know who, what. Asakta Bepiri Rivya. Now, these are the two shitas. So one, now, who knows a little bit about the Inyan of Bitochen, what it means to trust in God. Who's the go-to Rishon when it comes to the subject of trusting in Hashem? No, Chaver. Who's the go-to? Which sefer do you turn to when you want to understand what's Bitochen? That, I say a Rishon, not an Achman. A Rishon. Chazanish wrote a very famous sefer on Bitochen, but that's just a few years ago. I'm saying, but the Rishon that we go to, the Chavis HaLevavis. The Chavis HaLevavis wrote that Sefer Chavis HaLevavis has Shar B'Tochen. Everybody has to learn Shar B'Tochen Mamish, inside out. Shar B'Tochen Chavis HaLevavis, Rabbeinu B'Chai. That's the Sefer that made a Shulchan Aruch of the subject of B'Tochen, of what it means to trust in God. And he's very strong. Right? The Chavis HaLevavis is very strong. In other words, in pushing us to the limits of our faith, to trust in Hashem Mamish in the deepest way, to trust in Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's very strict and strong in this inyan of giving yourself over, surrendering yourself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why I wanted to share with you what's the mahalach of the Chavis HaLevavis. Because he is the Rebbe when it comes to Bitochen, of the Rishonim. He's the Rebbe. So he writes in the fourth parak, everybody should look when you get home, in the fourth parak of Shara B'Tochen, of the Chavis HaLevavis, of Shara B'Tochen, where he says that when it comes to mitzvahs, Ein lismoch al B'Tochen. When it comes to performing mitzvahs, one doesn't sit back and say, I trust in God when it comes to doing mitzvahs. He says what? You have to choose, and you have to decide, and you have to get busy. He says when it comes to the results, as you go looking for the asterisk, you try to put some money together and go buy a lulav and asterisk. If you did that, you got the money, and you get there, and for the money that you have, which you worked hard to put together to buy a lulav and esrog, and you can't get a nice esrog or something, so then the Chavis HaLevavis says, Sayda, that's Hakadosh Baruch Hu's business, how it turns out, right? The totsa'ot, the results, that's Hashem's Baruch Hu's business. But when it comes to a mitzvah, he says, you have to make your shtadlus when it comes to a mitzvah. The results are something which are einam tluyim bidei ha'adam. How something turns out, that's not up to a person. And then one has to try to as hard as possible to be samech on Hashem and to trust on Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sha'Hashem ha'toyv ben yavyase. You're going to be able to get an esri. You'll be able to take care of this mitzvah to get a bit of tefillin for your kid. You have to try whatever you could do, and the results are up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if a person does not make a shtadlus, let's say, to get an esrog, and he sits in his house and he's waiting for, and like the Rebbe of Zushi, that somebody would bring him breakfast, right? So Rebbe Zushi would sit after davening and would say, Zushi is hungry. So you all know the story, right? You don't know the story? Well, it's just fast. Zushi is hungry. He would sit after davening, he would say, Zushi is hungry. He never called himself I. He hated the word I. So he said, Zushi is hungry. And that was the cue that his shamus, who was in the kitchen, he would come out with breakfast. He was poor. He came out with a breakfast every Rebbe Zushi. So every morning after davening, he would sit down, he would say, Rebbe Shalom Zushi, it's time for Zushi to have something. And then the Shabbos would listen, and he brought out the breakfast. So the Shabbos was getting sick and tired of this. And the Shabbos decided one day, he's not going to go out. So the Rebbe Zushi says to him, he says, Rebbe Shalom, good morning, Boker Tov. It's time for Zushi to eat, have something to eat with you. Rebbe Shalom, please send something. And the Shabbos is standing in the kitchen. There's a guy, he's not going out. And the Rebbe Zushi says, no, it's time to have something to eat. No, and the Shabbos is not bringing anything. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and the Rebbe Zushi gets up, he opens the door, and says, you did it, comes with mezainas, with fish, all big plan. So he says, shkoyach, Rebbe Shalom, shkoyach, shkoyach, shkoyach. He says to the Jew, shkoyach, shkoyach, Rebbe Shalom. He sits down, he washes, has breakfast. He's not in his bowl at all. He doesn't even ask what happened to the Shabbos. He just has breakfast. The Shabbos goes out the back door, and he runs after this Jew to find out who are you, what are you, what's going on. That's my job, you know. So he catches up to this Jew, and he asks him, what's going on over here? Who are you? So he said, I came to town to get a bracha for my wife to have children. We were married a long time, and my wife is begging me to come. There's the big tzaddik here, the Rebbe Zushi. So I came to town to get a bracha. And I was crossing over the little footbridge to get into town over the river, and there was a Jew that was old and was holding onto both ropes, and it was taking a long time. And I went over to him, and I said, and I gave him a little bit of a thing. And I said, can you move over? So I crossed over the bridge, and I see people standing on the other side horrified. And I asked, what's the matter? And they said, you know, you just pushed the Rebbe Zushi. So I didn't know, I was besides myself. I didn't go to Davin. I went straight to buy different things to try to bring a gift to the Rebbe Zushi to ask him, to appease him, because I'm going to go in to ask for a broch. I don't want to have a kapeda. So whatever, that was his maises. So that's why I brought. So every day after that, the Shamus wasn't upset. He would hear Rebbe Zushi say, it's time for breakfast. And he understood that that's how it works from Shammai. So Madrega Tzaddik. But if a person and if a person would sit back, the Rabbeinu B'chai says, this person sits in the house, and his kid's bar mitzvah is tomorrow, and he doesn't have tefillin, right? And he's saying, Zushi is waiting for tefillin. Whatever your name is. I'm waiting for the tefillin. Someone's going to bring... So the Rabbeinu B'chai says, you're pesheya. You're a pesheya. You're a criminal. You can't do such a thing. You're not allowed to do such a thing. You're pesheya bar mitzvah Hashem. So now, since a shidduch, since getting married is not only a mitzvah, but Chazal referred to it as a mitzvah rabbah. Mitzvah rabbah is from the greatest of the mitzvahs, the first mitzvah, the beginning of Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Mekayim. So, therefore, the chiva v'shtadlus is for the parents, to the best of their ability, to the teachers, to the friends, whoever. Obviously, it falls most on the parents and on the boy and the girl themselves. And that's why in the third parak of Shaar B'tochen, Rabbeinu B'chai writes the following: Ha'odam nivra kishu zokuk v'nitzrach ledvar me'achutz. A human being is created in such a way where he needs things outside of himself. He can't take care of himself. A baby can't take care of himself. He needs things. Even an adult needs things. Dahainu oichel mashke. You need to eat. You need to drink. Halbosha, clothing, dira v'isha, and a place to live and a person to get married to. You need a husband, a wife. V'tziva habari la'odam. And Hashem commanded us to get up and to go look for these things, to seek them out. And to use methods and ways that Hashem taught us and prepared for us, with certain ways and at certain times, how to use this. So let's give a moshel for this, to try to understand this second mahalach, which is the Mahalach of Rav Gedolei Yisrael. To understand this, imagine that there's a Yehudi, there's a Yid, an Ish Yehudi, and he's an Askan, he's a great person that's always helping with mitzvahs, and one of the mitzvahs he's taken upon himself is he's raising a Yisayim, he's raising a girl who doesn't have parents. And he took upon himself the achrayis, to send her to school, to buy her clothing, to send her to school, and now she's come to the time in her life where she should be moving on and be Hashem to get married. Imagine if this Askin would not call any Shadchanim. Imagine if he would not make any Hishtadlis, and he would say, says in the Gemara that 40 days kadim yitzias of Vlad, and it says the Gemara brings the psukim that Mehashem ish aliish. So I'm not going to make yeshdadlis. Every single person, as much as they respect this askin for raising the girl, everyone would say to this man and this woman, "How could you do this to her? You paid for her schooling, you paid for her clothing and for her food, and now it's time for her to get married. Now all of a sudden you're giving this basher, this talk about that it's not my achrayis, right? Anybody would say that it's your achrayis. That's the achrayis to follow through. You have no idea how many times I've heard chevra telling me, young men, young women telling me, especially from parents that come from a more modern background, that they're not used to it, that their parents said that, you know, take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves. There's not a feeling of achrayis, or it's unfamiliar territory. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know how to make calls. I can't make calls. Nobody made a call for me. You know, I met your father in Grossinger's in 1966. Okay, that's not like the same anymore. You know, the things have changed. First of all, Grossinger's doesn't exist anymore. That's number one. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but doesn't exist anymore. And that whole way of dating, in many ways, is already verfallen. It's not the way that it was. Whether for better or for worse, that's not important. It's just not that anymore. So those mothers and fathers that say, "Listen, you know, we met and we took care of it, and you know, get up and go do something," and they're not actively getting involved in helping the child according to that way that she came back with it, she wants to live, and according to how he wants to live from yeshiva and how she wants to live from where she came back from seminary. And the parents say, "Grossing is 1966. It's irishus. Mom's irishus." It's a strong word. It's not. It's terrible. It's irishus to say such a thing to children, and if they try to hide behind any, if they happen to have heard of this basher thing, or they heard of the Chazal of 40 days kadosh, and they use that to support their view, so they should know that is not something which that Rabbeinu Bechaya agrees with, and it's not something, as I said, that even when it comes to this way of the first shita, which I'll explain a little bit more in a minute. This whole thing of saying, you know, Zayagia, and or it's quoted in the name of Reb Chaim Kanievsky that the inyan is to daven. So the Yesod HaDav is as follows. The Pele Yoetz writes, just to explain, should we understand the first shita, of course, is a shita. But just to understand both in a clear way, the Pele Yoetz writes, on the subject of Zivug, if you look at the Pele Yoetz, it goes going to Aleph Beis. So by Zivug, by Zion, by Zivug, he's discussing this Chazal at the beginning of Sota and other places, that there's a bas called, there's a voice from heaven that makes a shidduch between the guy and the girl before they're born. So he explains the following. He says there are three types of gezeiros from Shemaim, three types of decrees in heaven. Three types. Aleph, the first, shetovo elav atoiva b'chol mikra. There's some people, they don't daven, they don't do mitzvahs, and good stuff happens to them. In other words, there's such a thing as a decree. It could have to do with an earlier Gilgal. It could have to do with some Zadia Babi and Shemaim, who knows what. But for whatever it is, or the Baruch Shalom is working at an inyan with this person, that even if this person messes his life up, and he's doing all kinds of affairs, but there's a gzeira of toiv, there's something good that this person gets, no matter what. That's the gzeira. There is such a thing. And then you have lo aleinu, another type of a thing. The Peliyoy says, Shetovalov Hara b'chol mikra. There are certain people, aleinu, that they could be so good, and they're wonderful, and they're doing mitzvahs. But there's an inyan of Ra that they have to go through because of the tikkunim of their neshamas, of nitzchis, whatever. And even if they daven and do mitzvahs, there is such a thing, Rav Dessler speaks about breaking through the lower mazel to a higher mazel. But b'derech klal, the Peliyoy says that there's a gzeira of Ra. When there's such a gzeira, there's a certain gzeira of Ra that can't be changed. Or not b'derech ha-teva. It's very, very, very hard to change as a gzeira. It's also a gzeira from Shemayim. There is such a thing. And then there's a third type of gzeira. There's a third type of a decree. That what? He says the following. Here there's a gzeira that what will come down from Shemayim depends upon his histadlis and his tefillis. U'lefamim ha-gzeira hi she'yeh ha-davar toli b'tefillah. And it could be in the same person's life, different things in his life. There are certain things in his life that no matter how much he davens, it's not going to help. Either for good or for bad, it's not going to help. And there are certain things in life, he says, lefamim, ha-gzeir hi she'yiyah ha-dova toli b'tfila, u'kefi ha-yishtalus v'acharitzus, kach yazmina lo isha tova. and he talks dafka about marriage. He says that the third type of gezeirah is that it was sent down from Shemayim, and it depends upon your tefillos and your hishtadlos, and the charitzos, how do you translate charitzos? Ambition. Your charitzos, your, how do you say another word for charitzos? Zrizos, charitzos. Zrizos is a good English word. Any other English words for charitzos? Alacrity, diligence, fine. Okay, so it depends on your diligence in taking care of it, your tefillos and your diligence to take care of it. Kach yazmino ha'isha toiva. And for the ones who are marching under the banner of Basheret, it's interesting. There's a parasha in Chumash that's called Chayisara. Everybody heard of it? It's one of our favorite parashas. Chayisara, there are 67 psukim, Chayisara, that are completely devoted to the ishtadlus that Avraham Avinu made to taking care of his child's shidduch. 67 psukim. Avraham Avinu. Also, the first shidduch that the Torah talks about human beings, not Adam and Chav, the first shidduch in Torah, why did the Torah give 67 psukim of ishtadlus? Now, Avraham Avinu didn't say, Avraham Avinu didn't say, I'm waiting here, didn't tell to Yitzchak. 67 psukim of ishtadlus, of Avraham Avinu. And the Gemara tells us in the Dharma a very beautiful thing about Samach Vav. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yishmael had a special, you know how different Jews have different mitzvahs that they feel more connected to. Every Jew has mitzvah that. So Rabbi Yishmael was very connected to this inyan of making shaduchim, Rabbi Yishmael. Bechlal, he used to take care also of girls that had tzaros, of yisaimus. He was very, very much connected to these things, to find shaduchim. And also, he used to try to see to it that girls that were poor, that they would be able to have makeup, to afford makeup, to have nice clothing and makeup. Rabbi Yishmael was Isaac in these things. And it tells a story there about how there was a poor girl and she couldn't get a shidduch. And Rabbi Yishmael personally took care of it to have a cosmetician to take care and help her fix things up a little bit. I didn't say that nicely. Whatever. You know what I mean. To look her best, okay. To help her look her best, I mean, she is beautiful, but to help her look better. So she'd be able to find the shidduch. Arkadei kach was the Isaac, and this is, Chazal tells a beautiful thing. Kishemeis Rabbi Yishmael, that when Rabbi Yishmael died, hoyu b'nos Yisrael noisois kina, the Jewish girls, the b'nos Yisrael, had a special kina, like kina's on Tisha B'Av, that they were crying and they were saying, B'nois Yisrael al Rebbe Yishmael Bechana. They went through the streets, B'nois Yisrael, Jewish daughters of Israel, Jewish girls, al Rebbe Yishmael Tivkana. We all cry, Rebbe Yishmael, who loved us so much and who took care of us and sought for us to try to help us with Shaduchim. He's passed away. B'nois Yisrael to Bechana to cry. So Rav Moshe Feinstein spoke about this baskol, and Rav Moshe Feinstein said, Adrabah, the fact that there's a baskol means that it's a shtickle nevuah, right? It's a little bit of a type of a nevuah, type of a prophecy. Therefore, davke, we know that when it comes to nevuah, there's a responsibility on the part of the Navi to do whatever he can to follow that nevuah and to see what they're just like Yonah. Yonah ran away from his nevuah, right? You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to make an effort to follow through on the nevuahs that Hashem gives you. And when Hashem, so if there's some sort of a baskol that says that there's a shidduch that's made, that doesn't mean that you don't make an effort to take care of it. It means that you're oisik in shidduchim. You try to make your shtadlus. What the Brisker Rav was talking about, and what the Vilna Gaon was talking about, that shav omlu b'nav b'ayin, that it's unbelievable hashgacha pratis, and that when it comes to shidduchim, there's bigger hashgacha pratis than anything else. He says, that's not saying, Rav Moshe explained, that doesn't mean that you don't have to make your shtadlus. Rav Moshe said that means that afterwards, when you look at what happened, then you realize that what happened was unbelievable, the shidduch, how it came about from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not to relieve you of your hishtadlus. It's la'achar ma'isa. And that's how many explain what the Vilna Gaon was saying also. The Vilna Gaon wasn't saying that when he said, Shavu Esik Bnei Adam B'inyin HaZivug, Shakol Hu Me'es Hashem. He was saying, the way that they explained the Vilna Gaon, now going back to the first Shita, this whole first Shita is not saying, when Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, just daven, or when the Vilna Gaon said that, Shavu Esik Bnei Adam B'inyin HaZivug, Shakol Hu Me'es Hashem. So the way many explain the Vilna Gaon, like Rabbeinu B'chai, it's not talking about not making an effort. It's talking about, like Rabbeinu B'chai says, to do what you have to do, like any other mitzvah. You work hard, you make a stylus to try to bring it, the bracha, to make it clear for the bracha. But when you look and you see, afterwards, you'll realize, Shav Amlu Banev Bay, that Hashem Mamish was, everything was in the most mysterious way. When Bez Hashem, we made our first Shidduch, Meir and Binyamin, so we were new at it, and it was very, very hard, very painful. You know, calling a shadchanim, and you have to call somebody. All the things that many people go through. To be honest, my wife and I were going through a lot of this stuff, and it was very, very hard for us. And it was very uncomfortable and very hard. And in the end, it was our nephew who all of a sudden, like one day, piped up and said, it was Dovi, right? And one day he piped up and said, you know, there was a really great guy that I knew in yeshiva, you know. So we were saying, like Dovi, how come you didn't tell us this, you know, last year? He said, no, I forgot. And how then with Dovi and this and everything, it was all like a gelechta. Mamish afterwards, all the phone calls, all the agmas nefesh, everything. That's what the Vilna Gaon was talking about. That there's takia bas kol. You have to do what you need to do according to the regular mahalach of hishtadlus. We'll talk about it in a second. And then you see afterwards that when it comes to the results of the teitzos, what about, is there such a thing that a person can mamish just sit back and not make any yishtalos? So the Rambam had a very, very holy son, Rabbi Avram ben HaRambam, and he wrote an important sefer called Amas B'Gloiv D'Hashem. And he also has over there a whole section that's called Shaar B'Tochen. He's even stronger than Rabbi B'chai. And there Rabbi Avram, the son of the Rambam, says that when you have tzaddikim gemurim like Eliyahu and Elisha, they're great, great, great people, like Eliyahu and Elisha. If there are, sometimes you have such a thing like Eliyahu and like Elisha, that they're worthy of Nisim, and such people don't have to look for Panasa, they don't have to look for Shidduch. There are individuals like that. But he says that that's not how life is. That's not how the Baruch Shalom made the world in general. And therefore, he says, when it comes to other things, for instance, Panasa, imhum is atzel, if a person is lazy, he'll be poor. If you're lazy, most likely, you're not going to win the lottery. If you're lazy, the likelihood is, if you're lazy and you don't like to work, the likelihood, he says, is you will be poor. That's how Hashem Yisbarach made the world. The Tzemach Tzedek explains al derech, for those of you who like Chassidus, if you learn Chassidus, in Derech Mitzvah Secha, the Tzemach Tzedek has a very deep Torah, by Tiglachas HaMetzorah, by the Mitzvah of shaving the Metzorah, the person of leprosy. There he has a whole Maroch in Pnimis Chassidus, this Inyan of that, of why Hashem Yisbarach made the world in such a way. Why do you make this? But there are some tzaddikim, like Ramban talks about, and Rabbi Nachman spoke about, the doctors. There are some people, they don't need doctors, they don't need anything. They can go to such a place. They live in such a place where every second of their lives is in a place of elokus. The world to them is nothing. Like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai when he came out from the cave, right? Mamas, the world's nothing to them. Nothing. But you can't say, I'm nervous about work, I'm nervous about my house, I'm nervous about this, I'm nervous about that. But when it comes to a shidduch, zayagia. That's not Elio, that's not Elisha, that's not Chacham Sofer, it's not the Chavis Chaim, it's already something else. You're just being lazy, or you're nervous, you don't want to take care of things. So now the big question is, I know I'm going very quickly and there are a lot of questions, but the big question is, so what's the amount of Hishtadlus, right? Like, how does that work? So first of all, one needs to know that after saying all of this and showing that really it's not like there are two shittas, there's the more pro bitachon, stronger bitachon shita, and there's a stronger hishtadlus shita, but no one is saying that there's an inyan of sitting back and not doing anything. That's for sure. What's the ikir hishtadlus? The ikir hishtadlus is without a question. Everybody agrees it's tefillah. That's the ikir hishtadlus is davening. It's not even a question. And also there are certain schoolers that we received, not that were made up. Schools, there are a lot of things that are made up, but schools that we received from Tzaddiki HaDairis, for instance, there's a, in the Ramami Panu, The Rambam Mipanu, when I saw Ma'amaris in the fourth chelik in Yud Zayin, in the fourth chelik, there the Rambam Mipanu says, "Kla Eimer Mizma Shir Lamalis Eso Enai Helaharim B'Soif Kol Tfiloisav Kodem Akiris Raglav Mazminim Loi Bazugoi Hayegenes Elav." In other words, before you take three steps back, I'm just bringing you a few that are not the ones, the newspapers that we have from generations proven from big tzaddikim. So he says that before you take three steps back, not every time you daven, but sometimes during davening, that before you take your three steps back, you should say the kapitel Tilm of Shil HaMalos HaSayinai Elahar Me'ayin Yove Ezri. You say that kapitel, and the Rambam Mipanu says that we see by this, Mazmin Lo Bazuga HaGenes Elav. It's a big koyach to bring down the bas, to bring down the zivik from Shemaim. It's also brought down the Agud, the Kabbani. It's also many tzaddikim can bring down from the Rambam Mipanu this skula. Of course, davening by certain esrots and by chatzois, the inyan of tefillah by chatzois, the time when the Sefer Torah is being taken out to go to shul and try to be there when the Sefer, sometimes, I'm not talking about anything neurotic or obsessive, but by going to when the Sefer Torah is being taken out, it's a very, very big esrots, and especially with Yom Nerayim, by Hutzot Sefer Torah, to daven during that time. The time of Hafrashas Chala, when you're taking off Chala, when you're baking, Hafrashas Chala is a very, very big Eser Watson. At the moment that you're giving tzedakah, you're writing a check, you're putting something in the pushka, it's a tremendous Eser Watson. There's an avoider, there is an avoider of tefillahs for 40 days Ritzufim, 40 days Befrat, that not only to daven for 40 days consecutive, 40 days, but to also light a candle, Le'ilu Nishmas Rabbi Meir Balanes. And when you're lighting the candle to say, that you're lighting this candle, so you to light a candle every day of those 40 days, Le'ilu Rabbi Meir Balanes. Huh? Yeah? Sorry. So, and then when you're saying it, to say, Eloka the Rabbi Meir, Eloka the Meir Aneini, Eloka the Meir Aneini, three times, to say that, there's a very big inyan, you're lighting a candle, it's a tremendous, tremendous skula, by those tefillahs, to also light a candle, Le'ilu Nishmas. Remember, Rabbi Meir Balanes is the inyan of finding something that's lost. The biggest aveda is one's soulmate. The other half is missing. That's the Chazal called at the beginning of Kedushin that the Yumachaza Acharei also, that the man is looking for his aveda. He lost that other part of himself. They came down from Shemaim. They were divided, and it's lost. So Rabbi Meir Balanes is the inyan of finding that which is lost. So if you daven something 40 days continue every day, such as Shir Hashirim is a very beginning to say 40 days Beretzifas, or there isn't any to go to the Kaisel Maravi every 40 days Beretzifas. It wasn't made up. It's a very chashuv thing, and to light a candle every day, and if preferably it should be a Shemen Zayis, not a regular candle, preferably, but it doesn't have to be, to give something in the Pushkin, it should be for, if you have a Pushkin for a Meir Balanes, and to light it, and to say, look, the Meir Aneini, to say that three times is a very, very big thing. And Shir Hashem doesn't have to be said by the person himself or herself. You could divide it up. It should be people you're close to, the close family or close friends, to divide up Shir Hashem is also a tremendous thing. Obviously, to be Isaac yourself in Achnasas Karla, to help other people find Shaduchim, is a huge, huge thing to help yourself. But it shouldn't be that machshava. You help others with Achnasas Karla and Shaduchim, so then that's a huge thing. And there are others, but these are the ones that are proven over time and come from the great, great, great tzaddikim. There are some others, together with the different tefillahs that we have from the tzaddikim. Now, as far as how much of this, you know, how much of this ishtadlus do I have to make? So I just spoke about the ishtadlus in tefillah, and the ishtadlus in using certain skulas, but to what degree? Like, I have to be busy all the time with this. You can go out of your mind, and you become heartbroken. You become heartbroken. You become crazy. And you become so disappointed and so on. There's no shiur for this. It's not written in a sefer. Again, if you listen to the shiur that I gave on Parshas V'yis and Chanukah years ago, the Chabad talk about it a little bit with Rachel and Leah, the Seder Advar, more ba'amkus in a deeper way. But at the end, really, there's a certain chush that a person has. It's hard to explain in a klal, a din, in halacha, what's the shiur of ishtadlus? How much should one try? There are people who beteva, they're very, very nervous, and they're unhealthy, and they're obsessive, and it could become something that's not good. There's a certain menuchas and nefesh that a boteach has. Because when we're discussing bitochen, the Chavis Lubavitz defines what bitochen really is. Mahus ha-bitochen hu menuchas nefesh ha-boteach. Bitochen, more than what you do, is how you feel. In other words, if you're a person that, as a result of it being the time for you to get married, whether you're 19 and fresh on the market, or you're 50, and you're looking for a shidduch, regardless, the sign of a person who's boteach b'shem is menuchas hanefesh. You make a hishtadlus. Again, there's no din what the hishtadlus is, what's considered to be for you psychologically, and in your where you are, what's considered to be a normal type of hishtadlus. But what bitachon is not how much you do something, it's how you feel. Malchus bitachon hu menuchas nefesh haboteach. Menuchas nefesh haboteach. To be in a place of menuchas nefesh, v'shei libo somoch hamisha botach alav, and your heart trusts the one upon whom you're leaning on. Trust is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the definition of bitachon. I'll end with a story from the Chazer from Lublin. It's brought down in the Divri Cheskel from the Shinivan Parshas V'Heira. He says the following. You remember the story in Chumash when Hagar with Yishmael in the desert, right? She's dragging in the desert and they're thirsty, they're dying, the baby's dying. So it says in Pasuk V'Yichla Amayim Achemes that the canteen, whatever it was, the thing with the water was empty. There was no more water. And she threw the baby under one of the bushes. She threw the Yishmael, the baby, under one of the bushes. Vatashla. She threw. So the Chayze asks, could it be such a thing that a mother would throw a baby like that and would leave a baby to die in such a way? So listen to what he says. Elaka hu perusha shel mikra. Listen to this chayza from Lublin. This is the meaning. La'achar she'es pa'alu lifnei ha'mokam, she'yochis Yeshua lebna. The word siach, a bush, is also the word sicha, which means what? Siach, ein sicha, ela, tefila. Eshbach lefonav, sichi. La'achar she'es pa'alu lifnei ha'mokam, she'yochis Yeshua lebna. After Hagar was crying and davening to Hashem to save my baby, azai v'tashlech es ha'yelad. Then she let go. Doesn't mean she threw the baby. V'tashlech hasiyel means like hashlech al Hashem. V'tashlech hasiyel, haynu shehashlich es da'agasa mibna mimen of Ahala. V'tashlech means she let go of her worrying. She let go of her fear. She let go of her screaming and crying. She let go of it. V'tashlech. She threw it away. V'somcholov shuhu yase es atoiv b'yoyse avura. And he trusted, she trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what he'll do, he'll do, it'll be good. V'dov zehu, that's what it means. Tachas echad hasichem, that she stopped crying and begging, and she let go of this, and this is all tachas echad hasichem, haynu ha'echad amyuchad besichem, v'hu sichat tefila. That she did what she could, she davened, she cried, and then she left it in Hashem's hands. Now again, tachas echad hasichem. For a person to daven, and even to go away from that and say, I must speak. We're not Nevi'im, we're B'nai Nevi'im, and a healthy person has to have a healthy balance and a chush, a feeling, for when something is becoming, something is going beyond what a person of faith should be doing, how a person of faith should be thinking and living and doing and so on. I can't say a klal in that, and if you're going to have, after all, there'll be other shiurim, and someone's going to tell you a klal, I'm not any more of an authority than anybody else, but I'm telling you, there's no klal. There's no such thing as a klal that someone could tell you. So to say all the different things that are written about shiurim and bitachin, that might not be your shiur. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. What's your siach? What's your tefillah? When can you be like Hagar to say, I did what I could. You can have to stay up till 3 in the morning calling Shadchanim someplace in Australia because over there is the morning and there's some Shadchan over there in Sydney that says they might, yeah. What does it mean? You have some parents, and a lot of times parents get nervous because they see some other parents that are like day and night, Isaac and these things. Could be the Stamishagoyim, or they're not Bali B'tochen. What's the shiur? When do you cross over from being a Bali B'tochen to being someone that does not be talking, ain't klal b'dama. There's no klal. Hashem is Baruch knows, and you have to have a chush to develop over time. You can talk to a rabbi, you can talk to a rabbi, you can try to talk to someone that has a more experience with these things, Lagabe, your life, who knows your personality. Are you getting crazy? Are you in the range of, is this the range of normal ishtadlus, or am I just getting crazy? There's no patent answer for that. That's somebody that knows you very, very well, and where you are, and who you are, and where you come from. Same thing with the parents. And then to do your ishtadlus, your siach, and when you do that, then you could put the baby down and say, Ani asisi eshali, I did what I could do, Rabbi Shalom, ata asay eshalcha. Now you do what you know how to do, and I trust you, and I believe you, that you can do this, and I pull me Hashem Dover, and then afterwards to look back in great wonderment and amazement to see the nisim and the flows that Hashem does for each and every one of us, and each and every one of you and all of us, we should be zayichim et Hashem to have good shidduchim, to make good shidduchim, to be able, once we're married, to be able to live in that way, in a way of emunah and bitachon. If you want, we could take a couple of minutes if there's a question or two. I don't want to, if somebody has to, it's already late, so you need to go. Or you have questions that you wrote down for the future, for the panel? Or
no, I need to ask those. Do you want to do the raffle first?
Is there a raffle?
Okay, so we're not going to do that. Say it.
Yeah, is there a question that anybody want to? Or rebuttal, something? No? Yalla. That's not possible. I never saw.
I wanted to see. That's not a question, it's just a comment. Because you were saying that the first sheet is Hamtana, but it's really not a contradiction, because while you're waiting for the bus, you could be crocheting. While you're waiting for something, you can be doing something. So it's not a contradiction.
No, Hamtana, Hamtain, that which Rabbi Nachman spoke about a lot, Rabbi Nosson, Hamtain is never an Eitzah not to daven and not to make Ishtadlus. It's a certain Menuchas HaNefesh that a person has. It's a patience that a person has. And this from all talk about how when you're impatient and you're in violation of Bitachon, you're pushing your Shidduch further away. This from all talk about that. I don't want to get into like the negative stuff, but but if there's, for instance, I'll say one or two negative things. That if a person is a Baal Zmar Shchaira, if you're a depressed person, if you walk around with Lagapunim, you know, if you walk around like that, this from say that even though you'll meet your Zivig on the street, he's going to run because nobody wants to be with the person. Mm-hmm. And vice versa with a guy. Because the thing that the neshama of a Jew hates more than anything is sadness. Nishmas Yisrael can't stand depression or sadness. And when you have a girl or a guy that they're ungeblusen, marish chayudik, depressed, and this and always nervous and sad, nobody wants to have a shaykh to a person like that. I have enough of my own problems. I marry somebody like that. I don't need that. That's just how people are. And the Sfarim say that it's a skula nifla not to get married by not being besimcha. And the strongest skula for a shidduch is besimcha. It's a strong, when a person is besimcha, the word bitachon is tov chen. The oisi is tov chen. The bitachon. The biggest chen that a person has is when you're besimcha. When somebody's besimcha, the whole world is, you're bechain to the whole world, and a bal simcha, and then a person wants to make work with you, and to study with you, and to make a shidduch with you, when a person is besimcha. When a person is not a besimcha dika person, when a person walks around like this, and is nervous, and then shidduch runs away. It's a school not to get married, it's to not to be besimcha. A school to get married is ki besimcha seitzeu, means that you go out from being alone. Besimcha seitzeu, besimcha, besimcha, besimcha. The whole Indian of Purim is Mishnech Nesodim Arim Besimchen. And Purim is a lotion of Pur Uvru, Asakta B'Purivri, but Purim is a lotion of getting married. The Indian of Purim. It's the biggest time of the year now, Purim until, from now, Purim until Pesach, and the afterwards Tu B'Av. This time now is a very strong time for Shidduchim, this time. And if a person's Besimcha, because it's a time of Gula now, Purim and Pesach is a time of redemption, of Gula. The biggest Gula is a person to be redeemed from that place of being alone. It's a tremendous time of, and therefore it's a time of gevaldig simcha. If a person is besimcha, then when a person is besimcha, then wherever that person is in the world, it's like a magnet. When you're besimcha, it draws that person to you. Mamish. When you're in a place of atzvas, sad, then go the other way. They run the other way. Mamish the other way. No?
Yeah. So the Rav said that there is a cosmetic and fixing up the girls that is concerned. What part? Like, if the girls, some of them just feel like, this is who I am, that's what I want. I don't want to get all...
Verputzt.
Okay, put it. Yeah. Is it, because the rabbi did help the girls.
Rabbi Shmuel.
Rabbi Shmuel. So, is it necessary? Should we encourage it?
All right, it's a fantastic question. You know, it's one thing that comes from a guy, it's another thing that comes from a woman. But I will say this, that the those people who are the anti-makeup brigade, you know, the those who are giving the anti-makeup sichot, are in my opinion, are responsible for misleading Jewish girls. I intentionally brought down the Gemara for Rabbi Shmuel to let you know that this is something that was one of the Hakonis of Ezra Seifer. You know this. That wherever there's even one Jewish girl that's living, that there have to be salesmen that go there selling cosmetics and perfumes and so on, that a Jewish girl should... What is the sheer of overdoing it that I leave up to my wife and the other ladies to talk about? But the whole thing about somebody comes home, let's say, from Eretz Yisrael, and they want to be pure, and therefore there's no lipstick or eyeshadow and all this stuff. And, huh? Or anything with the... It has to be tzanua, how to make what? But or the levushim to put on a potato sack and no makeup and something like that. So this is not Jewish bechlal, and that eventually leads to walking around like one of these nuts in Meisham with a black bag over you. And it's not Jewish. It never was Jewish. The Nashim Tzadkani has never had an Inyan not to put on makeup. There's no Inyan like that. It's not Jewish. That whole mahalach is not Jewish. And the people who are selling it, Kilo is Jewish, they're misrepresenting Yiddishkeit. The Baruch Shalom has gewaldige nachs when he sees his daughters looking nice. And to make themselves up nice, not to overdo it. But that's a shia that I don't know how to explain. What, when does a woman do too much and not enough? I don't know. But there's no Inyan like that, not to put on some lipstick or a little bit the other things. There's no Inyan like that. There's no Inyan like that. Yes. Yes. Yeah, he took care of a makeover. The teeth and the hair. Rabbi Shmuel. That's like, you know what we're talking about? Imagine you're talking about the Chavetz Chaim, the Baal Shem Tov, right? Rabbi Shmuel. We can't even be masik because we're talking about a Tana. And he was Isaac in these things to make sure that the girls himself to take them to make sure that they could afford and to help them to get made up. So the teachers that are saying these things, they have an achrayus to saying such things. I don't know who's doing it. They're still doing that. But there's some people who come home with this kind of an idea that there's no Indian, that they're supposed to not. If he doesn't like me the way that I look, then it's not for me. What's such a thing like that? What does that mean? The whole thing is shtuyot, my shtuyot, a new thing. It's not Jewish. It's not Jewish at all. I'm sorry, you're not done.
So I understand that what you're saying is that as parents, it's one of our rules to marry well for our children. And what if we are also doing that by doing our disciples like the Tefillah, like you said? What's the perspective on if your children end up finding their shidduch like in camp or in college or something like that?
Old-fashioned.
Is that, meaning, do we need to do more hishabos than that? Is that like kosher? Is that like, or do you need to...
You have a big mazel like that. As long as it shouldn't go into the wrong way, chas v'sholem. Sometimes, listen, sometimes you see there's schus, like we spoke about, there's a schus from grandparents or great-grandparents, and there can be such a thing that, like you see by Yaakov, Avinu, and Rachel, there's such an inyan that two people meet. There is such an Indian, but of course that's a path that could, that one has to watch very carefully.
As a parent, you know or hopefully you know your child, and you know their midos, and you're kind of trying to figure out what midos would complement that. And so if it happens on its own, you're not involved in that. I mean,
you were involved. You were davening, and you were involved, and it happened on its own. Then Ashrecha, Ashrecha, that Hashem Hezbollah made something in such a way that through your tefillas, that it came down very quickly and very easily. That's a gift from Hashem. You should appreciate it. It's very good. It happens. But of course, you have to see to it. It should be kosher. Everything should be the right way. Yeah.
What is Rabbi's opinion on sending photos?
I usually defer this thing intuitively. It makes me sick. And practically? My wife has to say. I don't know what to say. I don't know, because I thought it's terrible. But on the other hand, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. What do you think about it?
I can clarify the question.
Yeah? To clarify the question?
Oh, I can clarify the question. I think she's asking, is it okay to send a picture of a girl to a friend who doesn't know the girl, not to the boy or to the...
Oh, I don't know. You're not talking about...
To a shop thing. In other
right,
words,
so like someone who's helping facilitate.
With the parents, the same parents sometimes, I think it's okay for the girls to be who they are without makeup, without trying. Sometimes think that the pictures are... It's inappropriate for anybody to see a picture of the girl. I wanted to know what...
So first, I guess I was, because that was what I was saying makes me mamish sick, is that these boys that want to see pictures, that... that's mamish agol nefesh. That's horrible. As far as a shadchan, I don't know, Michal, what do you...
Certainly doesn't have a problem with the shadchan seeing who she's setting up. I mean, I have an achrayas to be able to say, I saw the girl, she's nice looking, whatever you want. I don't see any problem with that. The truth of the matter is today, even if they don't send a picture, there are so many ways to get a picture of the girl or boy. You can go onto Facebook, you can go onto people who know what they're doing can find a picture of that girl anyway.
But they want to send a nice picture to the...
I would rather you take a beautiful picture, get a good photographer, and send the picture. That's my opinion.
Not to a boy, Chas v'Shalom. That's terrible.
The boy is going to get the picture.
The Shadchanim show the boy the picture?
Yes, they will.
They don't just say she's beautiful?
No, they want to see a picture and they're going to find a
boy sit around looking at pictures of girls.
They will take a look at it. Yes, they will. They will. Of course they will.
No.
Nope. You have to deal with the reality.
Okay. I told you I was born 300 years ago.
Right. I'm just surprised when people do send pictures and I look at the picture and I say, what am I thinking? It's not a good picture. And if you don't know how to send a good picture, find someone to help you. Uh-huh. I don't mean to be funny. I'm very serious.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought up that question, because I have a very principled daughter. Very principled. She will not give a picture. She's a computer whiz, and she scours the internet to make sure that nobody can get a picture of her. And I know without a picture you won't get a date. And I struggle.
Is she married already?
No. And I struggle with, when do you go against your principles because it's a shtadlus? And when your principle's so strong, you say, I don't care if it's a shtadlus, this is my principle, and I won't do it. And I wish you would clarify that, because I struggle with that. She said, you don't need to get a picture. I said, I want you to get a date. You can't get a date. She said, but I have principles. If it's right, I'm not going to have to go against my principles. So Hashem's going to send a very elevated man who's going to meet me and see the whole package and not sit and look if I'm gorgeous and if I know.
Right.
And I struggle because I agree with
it's a chashuva question. When we were kids, there used to be a television show called Father Knows Best. You could tell your daughter, Mother Knows Best. Mother Knows Best. There's a difference between doing something in a way that's inappropriate. Inappropriate is the key word. Appropriate or inappropriate. I'm very much against something that if it's inappropriate. But for this to be a principle, this is a principle that was made up not by Gedolei Yisrael. It was a principle that was made up, could be by somebody or on her own. Well, she heard this. Look, it takes us into a very, very big discussion, which we're not going to, it's very, very late, and it's maybe something we should talk about the coffee conversation, because it's a very, very touchy subject. Is there such a thing that does your daughter or any other girl have the right, and is it a Jewish thing to say? Is it the proper thing to say? The one who was created for me does not need to have such a thing. And if he does, then it's not for me. It's not so pashut. That's not so pashut. You can make up any principle you like, but the question is that the Ratzon Hashem? And I don't... To a boy, to send a picture to a boy, yeah.
and she's such a computer.
But I thought you said the shotgun sends it to the boy.
She will send the shotgun a picture that will disappear in a few hours.
Wow, she must be a big tzaddik, but no, it's very chosh. But I respectfully disagree. But it could be she heard this from some teacher or somebody. I'm going to tell you something. The boy, because of the level that your daughter is on, that boy is not going to want to study her picture. Yeah, that boy is not going to want to study the picture. And her husband is not going to be studying pictures of women also afterwards.
Because that's called
hishtadlus. Yes. The hishtadlus is determined by where you are and what period of time you're in. It's not hishtadlus from years ago, and it might not be hishtadlus from next year, but where you live and where you are and the social circles that your shidduchim are to be found, she's not looking for like a guy from Square, right? Okay. So even from Square there, but so if she's not, then she's in the wrong, she's using the wrong mahalach in a social circle that's not hers. She's not in a Yerushalmi, and she's not in New Square, and she's not in Monroe. But she's using that criteria. It's the wrong, she's in the wrong place. Now she should move to Monroe and be a Monroe girl. Yes, there's Stadlis that's considered to be by Erlich, by God-fearing Jews in the place that you come from. And if there's a boy that's going to look at that inappropriately, that's his problem. That's his problem, but he's doing things. That's not the one he's not going to marry her anyway. That's his problem. The boy looks at the pictures. It's the whole subject of pictures in books. And, you know, to people in the Rebs and Kanievsky book that came out from law school years ago. So are there men sitting around studying Rebs and Kanievsky's picture that's in the book? If there are, then they have a problem. There's a problem, and he needs to get help. Therefore, they shouldn't put the Rebbe's picture in the biography. This is a big question, Bechlal, what's going on with this. It's an over-sensualization of women. Your daughter, she should live and be well and have a shidduch. The right shidduch should be b'kara mamish. That your daughter, that by doing that, she should know she's making a bigger issue of her looks by not doing it than by doing it. It's overdoing the looks thing. Sometimes by making an issue like that and taking everything off and no one could ever see me like that, it means you're crazy about it. You're overdoing it. It means, like I remember when we lived in Eretz Yisrael when we were first married. So we had an apartment that was next to the boys' yeshiva because I was learning in the yeshiva and that's where they gave us an apartment. And there was Nebuch a guy that worked in the yeshiva. And he would scream at my wife, "Why are you torturing me? Why are you torturing me?" My wife was like walking. She's right to know she's walking. He has problems. He has problems. So halacha is not based upon people who have problems. If you have a woman that she's afraid to ever be seen in a picture, because she should wear a taka burqa because someone's going to take a look at her, then she's over-sensualizing herself. She's making herself into something more physical. Then, because a healthy, normal human being is not looking in a picture to find that person, that look. And if there is a person like that, then he needs help. But that's not how we define sneers. So therefore, you can't walk around. So you have these people that they're burning shaitels in Eretz Yisrael. They ran on Hanukkah, we were there. They put up 8 shaitels and they're burning shaitels. You need to have like a team of therapists over there. Like, what's the matter with these people? What's wrong with them? And if you have a woman that she goes to that extreme, I'm not talking about whether she should wear a long shekel or not. I'm not getting into that sugya. But you can have a woman that says I might be caught on a picture and someone might see me on a picture and because of then there's something there that is not healthy in that way. That's not what sneas is. That's something that was made up by people. That's not sneas. That's not sin. The Rebbetzin, the big tzadkonias, they were able to live normal lives and walk on the street, and they weren't afraid of some Mishigna that's going to look at them. I found Rebbetzin Alyoshev in the corner of that picture. They're crazy people. Hashem Shmuel gave the Torah for healthy, normal people. They're crazy people like that. Am I clear? Okay. Well, to be continued, Lila.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.